Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Mraz, joined by Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent on the program today. And Mr. Mayor, welcome as always to The Front Page.
Always glad to be here, Chuck.
A lot going on in the city, and we'll start with something that happened at this week's City Council meeting. You heard from the District Ranger from the Cumberland District of the U.S. Forest Service, Jonathan Kazmierski, and I was hoping you might talk about that a bit.
Well, I had the privilege of hearing, that's the second time I've heard, he likes to be called Kaz because he's got one of those names that folks with the Eastern Kentucky dialect, such as myself, have a hard time accent correctly pronouncing it, although he said I got it correct last night, so we'll see. But got to hear him speak at our New Cities meeting this month and also last night, and he brings a lot of excitement and fresh ideas to our area. And before I go any further, and he mentioned it too, we were very privileged to have in our service for 26 years Dave Manor. Dave did more for our community than anybody has done probably in the that anybody can remember. 26 years of service, and Dave is a tremendous asset to our community. And so we wrangled him. I told everybody last night it was a secret condition of his retirement. We wrangled him on to the tourism board, but of course it wasn't. But, you know, he was so good and so valuable in this area. And that's one thing John did, and I like that. You know, sometimes you have new people come in, and they want to just turn everything around, do their own way. But he understands, and he wants to build on what Dave had done in his tenure. But the thing that excites me about John is that he is excitable. He comes from an area out in California known as Mammoth Lakes, and he worked there for several years. And one of his specialties, if you can call it that, is recreation. And he tells us, both times I've heard him speak, that we're so blessed with our topography, with our with the way our land has been developed thus far, that he sees so much potential, even more, for recreational opportunities at the lake and in our community.
What types of things is he talking about doing out there? When you talk about recreational opportunities, first thing you think of obviously is something in the water where you're boating or you're out fishing or something along that line. Does he have some additional ideas?
One of the things that we worked on since I've been here a little over a year now is I get to go to, fortunate enough to get to go to the Gateway Area Development District meetings, and we also meet with the Division of Water there and talk about different things. And it's been in the works for several years, but it seems like it's going to come to fruition now with his help and guidance kind of pushing it through. Is there's going to be another boat ramp, it looks like, down possibly, we think, still not 100% there, but down in the Stony Cove area, which that was originally designed for a boat ramp there. And that's going to be some additional recreation. That's a highly used recreational area. If you ever go from the area down there and you cross the dam into Bath County on your left, on the lakeside. Also, he's not opposed to hearing private developers come in and look at, again, reopening the possibility of having a lodge, which will be privately owned and ran. And I think that's exciting. And one of the other things is one of the most beautiful areas of our lake, and there's a lot. And, of course, Twin Knobs, I think, and he even said, is one of the nicest campgrounds he's been to. But Zilpo, which, oddly enough, years ago when I was in high school, my summer job was working there through the Corps of Engineers with a youth program through Dave Manor that we would go and work and clean up. You know, it floods every year. So with some retirees and some youth through the forestry program, youth forestry program, we would go over there and clean. So I've known that area for many, many years, and it's one of the most scenic areas as far as the lake goes. However, it's one of the most underutilized. So every year there's an accountant of the forestry goes through and looks at all their properties, which ones are being used the most, which ones need to be used more, and which ones need to be kind of phased out. And that's one, I guess, has been on the chopping block for years. But Dave Manor, and then through his work and effort, has kept it going. And they've built a little country store over there. And they've added a lot of things that's brought it up some. And that's what John wants to do. He, Mr. Kazmierski, wants to continue to try to, what can we do to drive people there? He doesn't want people to go from Twin Knobs to there. He wants people to come into Cave Run, additional visitors, and go there. So he's looking at all kinds of options, and he's open to ideas, and that's what I like, is he's coming and he believes in one of the things I believe in is a collaborative effort. He believes in working together, what does the community need, how can that help the lake, and vice versa.
When you talk about a lodge, and this is a subject that comes up probably every few years, as you know, the biggest issue is where would that lodge go, and the other thing is people feel like it needs to have a liquor license, and at least in two of the counties, and possibly might have that issue too in Rowland County, is getting that liquor license.
That's a whole nother ball game. That's a whole nother battle, I guess you might say, that would take some time to do. But you're right. That's something that would be definitely attractive for a private investor to come in or a private developer. But, you know, I don't know. You don't want to put – you know, the cart before the, I mean, you don't want to put the cart before the horse. You want to make sure that you can get people interested and then see exactly what is an incentive we can do. And we're working on that with the city right now. We've got a group of folks with our downtown Moorhead and our new cities as well as City Hall. We're trying to come up with community, what I call unofficially, a community incentive toolbox. In other words, toolkit. What can we do to lure people here? What's, in other words, not give them the moon, but what can we live with to entice people to come here, whether it's tax incentives, whether it's, you know, guaranteed room rates, if it's a hotel you're trying to get in, those type of things. What can we do? And this is just another example. I'm sure if you said that we would get a liquor license and you'd be able to sell liquor there, I'm sure that would, you know, open up to a lot more opportunities. There again, though, is that a battle politically or a battle in this area that you could win? Do you go with someone who don't have to have that and then maybe go for it later? It's one of those things you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket and do that. I believe if you can get something started, then I really believe in positive peer pressure. We hear all the time negative peer pressure, and it's always got a negative connotation. But I believe in positive peer pressure, too. I think people like to be, developers especially, investors, like to be part of things that are moving forward. So our goal is just to get something started and then build on it.
Figure it out later.
And then build on it. That's right.
How important would having a lodge at the lake be for the city of Moorhead? How much could it help the city in terms of drawing people in and, say, economic development and other issues?
Well, I think it would be a tremendous asset, and I'll tell you why. You know, there's people right now, and again, this goes on to what we'll talk about later, what we talked about in our meeting last night with wayfinding. This all ties together. In other words, you want to draw people to your area, and I want people to come here to benefit us. I want people to benefit Bath County, Morgan County, Menifee County, everybody that is affected by the lake. But I also want them to come to Moorhead, too. So by drawing them to the lake, we also need to draw them to Moorhead. Or if you draw people to Moorhead, having a lake gives you another another incentive to say, what are my people going to do when they're not working? What are my, if I want to bring a company here, if I want to bring jobs here, what's another opportunity? What can the kids and my family members of my workers do in their downtime? Well, we got a lodge at the lake. You know, we've got this at the lake. We've got that at the lake. Or we've got the trails here. We've got this, that, and the other. It all adds to me. It all works together in economic development, because you don't want to draw people just to the lake and then, you know, the lake's a few miles outside of Moorhead, obviously, and then they go back. And that happens sometimes. There's people who come here and never come to Moorhead. So we want to work with the entire community and the surrounding communities, which we do with Gateway Ad and Gail Wright, to make it a destination for the region. But if we have people come here, then, you know, if you got people at the lake that are new, you can get them to come to Moorhead. But if the lake's reason they come here, they may not come to Moorhead anyway. So we've got that drawing interest, so let's get them there, and then let's work our way up. And you do that with wayfinding. You do that with communication, social media, all kinds of promotion. And I think, I lived here all my life, and I used to live, you know, a few miles from the lake. I think the lake is so underutilized now. It's much better than it used to be, but it's got so much potential to help everybody in the region.
Well, you mentioned a good point. You talked about this quality of life issues for people who want to locate businesses.
Exactly.
Here. This kind of feeds into an issue that we talk about from time to time, a new recreation park. And again, this seems to have been pushed to the back burner. Where are things with that? Are they anywhere?
Well, and that is a very complicated question. It's a very easy question with a complicated answer. Let me go this way. We are constantly looking at every single opportunity as far as a place to put more recreation, fields, whether it's a water park, for example, or whether it's an indoor recreation facility. We have all these what we consider community needs and wants. And we're in the process right now of our Recreation Commission. We've been able to partner with a university class, and they are going to be helping us put out a needs assessment for recreation and wellness in our community. And we're going to do that not over a three-month period or a six-month period. We're going to do it over a nine-month period, as we've talked before, to get a good sampling of what people really want. As far as where we are with an actual location, all the locations we looked at are still on the board.
How many you got?
Well, right now we've got about three. Potentially a fourth one, but the fourth one is more in the future because of the cost. But we've got three in the we got two in the city limits, and we have one outside the city limits. And we're just continuing to look at, because the three things we look at are location, cost, and time. And people say, well, this is cheaper, yes, but is it big enough? Okay, this is going to be more room, but can we afford it? It's, you know, there's not a easy formula to do that. So we always look at what can we do to affect the most people, how close is it, and how much is it going to cost the taxpayer, and how much, not only what is it going to cost to build these facilities or fields, but how much is it going to cost to run them? Our neighbors over in West Liberty, they have a beautiful wellness center that is one. I've been to. It's beautiful. It's one of the nicest ones around. However, the money that was used for that was all the money was used to build it. Now they're having to go and partner with people just to run it, just to keep it open. So we don't want to go and build a Taj Mahal and open it one day a week because that's all we can afford to do it, or turn it into an open box one day. You know, we want to be able to not only have something that is going to be very useful, something that's new and up to date, maybe not the Taj Mahal, maybe not, you know, the new Yankee Stadium, but that's functional, that's new, that's up to date, and that we can afford to maintain and be there for 30 years. That's the key. So when you factor all those in, it's a very complicated formula that we're trying to work out. It's my number one thing at City Hall, and we've talked about this all the time. I know you and I have, and you and other people, but you know, safety, safety, safety. Our police and fire is our first thing, but 1A is recreation. And you know, one seems to get a lot of attention one time, one or the other, but to me they're almost parallel, but we can't afford to do both in 1 year or in 2 years. So, but our goal is, hey, we're going to keep planning, and when we get one down and the money's here, then we'll do the other. So people ask me all the time, when are we going to have this, when are we going to have that? And I said, in a perfect world, we'd do it today. But, you know, again, we have to be fiscally responsible. We have to be good stewards of our money, but we also have to look out for the needs and wants. And sometimes that's hard to balance, and people want things now. We live in a drive-through society, a microwave society, an instant, you know, Snapchat society. So I just want people to know that every day we work very hard. We have a group of us at City Hall that's what we look at. We look at upgrading the facilities we have and trying to find the best place for the money that we can afford to build and maintain. I know that's not a specific answer, but that's really what it is.
All right, I'll ask you the next question. You talked about wayfinding, which is the signage that helps people find things around town, especially new people. What's the latest there?
Well, it was a great presentation last night by Rick Lenio, who works here at the university with facilities, and he's been heading that up. And I had the fortunate to be on that committee, and they've had a break because of the weather and the holidays, and the group that's actually doing the proposal for them is finishing up some things, and we'll be meeting here again shortly. But one of the interesting things that the person who ended up getting the contract was, they were very smart. They didn't come in and do a big flashy presentation. They simply took their phone and they took a camera and they started at the interstate and they drove in and tried to find places because they'd never been here. So they took pictures of different things and they wrote a nice little, you know, synopsis, and they put a nice little PowerPoint together and showed, hey, I've never been here, and I can't find places. So we all take for granted, you've been here long enough, I've lived here all my life, we know how to find places, probably still don't know some street names, but we know how to get to places. They don't know the street names or how to get places. So it was a very unique perspective, as if, you know, that's what we want. Wayfinding is, it enhances the ones who live here, but it also, if we want to draw people here, whether it's prospective students, doctors, developers, you know, teachers, whoever, visitors, we want them to know how to get from point A to point B. Right now, we take it for granted every day. So we don't have a welcome to Moorhead sign on either one of the exits. Think about it. We got those signs that are, as you come in the next couple of miles, says we're a trail town, blah, blah, blah. But we don't have a welcome to Moorhead sign that tells you Moorhead's right or left. The university's right or left. You know, this is right or left. Those are simple things that we take for granted that somebody who comes here all the time, people don't know how to get to City Hall.
I'll ask you this question, and how do you go about enacting that? It's obviously needed, but at the same time, what do you do?
Well, you have to look at – you have to do a complete analysis of everything you need. The university, of course, they're doing the town. They're doing – they want to incorporate us with it, and we appreciate that. We're partnering on that to make sure that you know how to get around the town because you're going to live here if you're a student or you're a professor or whatever. But they're also doing more in-depth than what we will do because they're actually doing – campus buildings. They're doing, you know, there's buildings on campus. We know that if you make a wrong turn, you're like, wait a minute. You know, is this second floor, first floor, in between? You know, so they're doing all that too. But what we're going to do is we're going to continue to partner with them and look at an overall, try to find all the things we need, but then back up and say, okay, we need to go from point A to point B and do an overall how to get downtown, how to get to the hospital, how to get to points of interest, and then again, build on that as number one, the funds become available, but we need a simple plan on how to get to some of our major points of interest, whether it's police, fire, hospital, or conference center, or those type of things. So it's a process, but I see it happening. You know, within the year, we should have some things going on.
Okay. Again, our guest today on Front Page, Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. I'm Chuck Meraz. We'll go ahead and take a break. Come back with more in just a moment.
There are many ways to connect with Moorhead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Moorhead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz. Again, we're joined by Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent as we talk about city issues. And one of the issues that we talk about almost on a regular basis is the plans to build a brand new facility that would house the city's police and fire departments. And I guess the key now is finding the right location.
That's like, you always say location, location, location. But again, like I said earlier, you know, the three things we look at when we go out, and trust me, ask me all the time, why don't you put it here? Why don't you put it there? How about this? And I literally can answer them without looking at a cheat sheet because me and Joe Parson and some others in the community, Tony Pence and others, we have looked, and the chief of police, the fire chief, we have looked at every single piece of property that's potentially available or may be available or is available in the city limits. And we've turned over every rock. We've measured everything. We've gotten more aerial views. And my desk looks like I'm a map maker because I've got maps everywhere, aerial views. So we've narrowed it down to two or three places we think if it's, number one, the best location is if it's affordable, if can it be done timely, and if it's going to be the less intrusive on that area. We have one area that wouldn't bother anybody, but we've got other areas that are going to be, you got neighbors around there, and that's a key, and that's what, you know, people don't understand, because I guess in the past, or not only here but other places, you know, sometimes that's not been a big consideration. You try to do what you got to do, and sometimes people and things take the back seat. But I'm of the belief that everybody can win. Now, is everybody going to get what they want? No, but the object is to get something that's going to keep our neighborhood safe. So we can. It's all about response time, Chuck. It's how quickly can we get our firefighters on a truck and get to the scene? How quickly can we get through traffic if we're police officers coming off Second Street or on First Street, Main Street? How quickly can we get them? And we want them housed in a first-rate and first-class building. If we expect our police officers and our firefighters, again, which were the only state university and the only regional hospital in the state that is protected by a volunteer fire department. If we want first-class service from these gentlemen and ladies, then we have to give them first-class buildings, we have to give them first-class equipment, and we have to give them the backing we need. So we've got a couple places we're looking at. We've got three, actually. We've got two that we're really zeroing in on and just trying to see if that's the best location, again, for time, for money, and the neighborhood.
When do you think you might finalize it?
Or hope to? Well, you know, I would hope that by the, and again, don't hold me to this, this is just a hope. I would hope that by the end of this fiscal year, which will be June 30, I hope that we have something maybe at least under contract as far as a piece of land, or we are very close to that, so we can go ahead and start doing the engineering studies and architectural type things. So now, what does that mean? If we were to buy a piece of property today, we're looking at 2 years, maybe two and a half before that can be occupied. So you're looking at 2 years anyway. And so no matter where you go, and trust me, I want to do it yesterday, but I can't. We got to do it the best way we can. So I want people to be patient, but let them know, though, that that is a number one priority of mine, and I'm going to do everything I can with the council's approval and the council's help to make sure it's done. And if we could have something that we can announce before June 30, I will be ecstatic.
When you talk about budgeting for this project, and this would include, say, the land and also the facility itself, do you have a ballpark idea where you want to be?
Yeah, we do. We've been online for a year and looking at all these different designs. It started out going to be a police station and a fire station separately. Well, then the more we look at it, we're going to save anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million by combining them. And it does a lot of other things, too. It doesn't disturb two areas. If we go in, we're going to get more bang for our buck by the amount. But we're looking somewhere, land, everything in the neighborhood of $4 million. We think we can build the building for about $3 million, $3.5 million, and the property will be somewhere between we're hoping not to pay more than $1 million for the property. So it'll range anywhere from four and a half tops. We're trying to keep it under that, and that's about where we need to be bonding-wise and to keep, you know, for our borrowing capacity to keep us where we need to be within our budget. And along those lines, we had an analysis done by Ross and Sinclair back in February of last year. And, you know, in a two to three years, we think we're going to have room, based on where we are now, that a pretty good chunk of debt should be paid off by then. So this looks like 2 and 3 years, it will replace, but we'll still come out with a net gain, if that makes sense. We'll have a little bit more in the black than we do now. So then we can start planning for other things. But I would love to say we're going to build a water park then or a rec, but people forget we've got a $300,000 project that no one planned for up North Wilson with the wall that's pulled apart from the road. We didn't budget for that. Again, that's going to take priority over anything else. So, you know, some of it is planning, some of it's luck, and some of it is making sure that when you do things back, it lasts 40 years and not 10 years. We can put $1 million in both facilities combined, no problem. Save $3 million for 10 years. But you've still got a 1935 post office, and you've still got a car wash. So why not put $4 million in and have it last for 50 years? That's the goal.
We've got maybe about 90 seconds left. Update on property taxes. I understand the collections have gone well.
Gone well. According to Chrissy Cunningham, who's our city clerk, she said we're at about 94%, which is a little bit up from this time last year. And we hope to increase that. This is something that we will be talking about and having a presentation on at our next meeting in March, is we're going to finally, something I know that our previous clerk would love to have done, we've tried for years, is to get electronic pay. And we're going to be able to, hopefully within the next couple months, be able to you'll be able to make credit card payments at the city hall for your taxes, fees, license, and so forth, and also online, as well as the recreation department for signing up your players for sports and your children, and also at the police department for parking. So, you know, that's something that's been needed a long time, but we feel like we've got the right group now as far as the people who will be handling that, the company, and we hope to be making that announcement within a couple of months, and we're really looking forward to that. I think it's been much needed.
Mayor, as always, thanks.
Thank you.
Mayor Jim Tom Trent, our guest today on Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz, host of the program. We'll see you next time.